from the unbelieving to show our belief in God. Now, anybody can give thanks to God, whether believing or unbelieving. We can be thankful for good food. We can be thankful for good health. We can be thankful for our family, our job. Whether you're a believer or unbeliever, we can be thankful for these things. However, what I'm asking is your thanksgiving such that you're giving thanks to God in a way that only a believer can give? What would that look like? For example, are you giving thanks to God for the way He has given you the faith that is in you? That you know that this world is going to pass away, but you know that your name is written in the book of life. And so even if things are going bad in your life, that you can still be thankful, knowing that you have a Heavenly Father who will make all things, who will use all things for your good. The world cannot do that. They can be thankful for good things, but they cannot be thankful for bad things. But however, a Christian can even be thankful for bad things, knowing that God works all things for their good, right? Last week has been pretty difficult for the Hong family. That's my family. And all I can tell you is that it has to do with aging. And it's not something that any of you would not go through. All of us would go through that, but we're going through it right now. And on Friday morning, I was just meditating. I was just thinking about life, right? Difficult times will let you do that, reassess your life. And I was asking myself the question, why are we here? Why am I here? Right? Where am I going? And what is really important in life? And I was so thankful that I actually have the answers to these essential questions of life. Why am I here? I am here because God has, in His joy with His Son, out of that joy, created this world in order to glorify Him. And He created me in order to glorify Himself. That's why I am here, to glorify God. And then where am I going? I am going right back to Him, my heavenly home that I've been searching for all my life, true paradise that I've been looking for everywhere but could not find, because I have a Heavenly Father who has been preparing this place for umpteen years. So that's where I'm going. And then, what is really important in life? What's important in life is for me to have joy in any circumstance because my faith is solidly in God, knowing that in the end, that I'll be with Him and enjoy everything that He has prepared for me forever. So it's having joy in the midst of suffering that is important to me. And that is unique to the Christians that the unbelieving world would not know anything about. Today I want to share with you something that we can be thankful for, no matter the circumstances, that will never go away. And that is the fact that God enabled us to be believing. God enabled us to be believing in His Son, even without physical evidences. I am thankful that we are 2,000 years removed from Jesus' physical presence here on earth, right? And I think about how I became a believer. I was born and raised in South Korea, right? My parents came down from North Korea. And then my journey with a church back then, the Christianity back then. Had my parents not come down to South when they were younger, I would have been born in North Korea and I would have never known Christ, right? But somehow I had that opportunity. And then coming over to the States when I was 14, right? In my formative years, in my rebellious years, and then I shunned away from church altogether, and then God somehow brought me back. I was thinking about all of that. And then I realized, man, more than anything else, more than the house that God has given me, the family that God has given me, or the job that God has given me, or the church that God has given me, I am thankful that God has put that faith in me. It's not from me. It did not come from me. Some people think that, well, faith is from you, right? It's basically what you have accepted and what you decided to believe. No, it is not. The Bible makes it very clear. Even our faith comes from the Lord. I did not have it in me to believe in God. I didn't want to believe in God. God had to put that in there. And I'm so thankful for that more than anything else, because it is that faith that lets me know that one day when my life is over, I'm going to see God face to face, right? Who is the creator of all beautiful and good things that we enjoy. That we are only enjoying the shadow of his goodness here on earth. Think about all the good things that you enjoy, family, food, right? The bright eyes of little children and even a beautiful movie or a beautiful sunset. All these are simply a shadow of the Creator. And I get to see him one day. And why do I have that hope? Because of the faith that God has placed inside of me. So even if I lost everything, I am thankful for that. And for that, I am blessed. And then I'm going to go a step further. I am blessed precisely because Jesus is not here and I don't have physical evidence for my faith. It's not what I say. It's what Jesus said. Let me read you today's text. Jesus said in John 20:29, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You are truly blessed if you have not seen me and yet you believe in me anyway. That's what Jesus, let me give you a context, what's going on. This is John chapter 20, right after the resurrection. As a matter of fact, this is 8 days after Jesus came back to life, after the crucifixion on the cross, all right? So Jesus, on the very first day, which was Sunday, by the way, when he was resurrected, he appeared in front of the disciples while they were in a closed room, a locked room, where they were praying and where they were scared, actually, that their leader has been killed, right? And then so maybe they thought that the Roman soldiers will come after them. And so they were all locked in a room. And Jesus, after the resurrection, came into the room without opening the door and appeared before them. And so the disciples got to see with their eyes that Jesus is alive. However, for whatever reason, one of the disciples wasn't there. His name was Thomas. And Thomas says to the disciples, well, I get that you guys all, right, you guys signed, but I wasn't there. And then he tells them, well, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where his nails were and put my hand into it, I will not believe. And so Thomas earns himself the unfortunate title of doubting, right? Doubting Thomas. But that's really unfair, because the fact of the matter is that all of the disciples were unbelieving, and even the women were unbelieving. How do we know? Because when they saw Jesus, they were like, that must be a ghost, right? Or even when they heard his voice, Mary thought that it was a gardener, never thinking, even though Jesus told them many times that I'll rise again, they just never believed that he would actually rise from the dead. And so it wasn't just Thomas, none of the disciples, and even the women believed really what Jesus said. But Jesus is gracious, right? And he does exactly what this doubting Thomas asks for. He appears before them again 8 days later. And this time, Thomas was present. And Jesus made sure that not this time Thomas was there. And then he tells Thomas this. Hey, Thomas, put your finger here. Okay? Put your hand. Place it in my side. Do not be disbelieving, but be believing. And then Thomas makes one of the most stunning admissions in all of the Bible. He says this, just 4 words, my Lord and my God. He's not saying, oh my God. That's not what he's saying, right? As we casually say when we see something cool, right, on YouTube. That's not what he's doing. He's calling Jesus my Lord and my God. Why? Because penny finally dropped for Thomas. All these years that he had been with Jesus, he was probably thinking, yeah, I kind of think that he's the Son of God, right? He's doing all these miracles, but I'm still not sure if he's the Son of God, then why did he die on the cross? That makes no sense to me. And then when he saw the resurrected Jesus, and then when he said, put your hand here and know that I'm alive, penny finally dropped for Thomas, and then, oh my goodness, everything is coming back to me now. He did say that he's going to go away, and then he's going to come back, and he's going to become alive again. I thought he was talking about spiritually, but I see him physically. Oh, wow, he really is not just the Lord, but he is God himself in the flesh. That's the admission that Thomas is making. And what does Jesus do? Oh, no, that's not me, Thomas. I'm just a person. No. Jesus accepts it. Jesus accepts worship as God. And then he says this, and this is for us. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Who is he talking about? He's talking about you and me. You and I have not seen Jesus physically, right? But you have still believed. That means you are more blessed than the disciples. That means you're more blessed than those people who are in the room who saw the resurrected Lord. You are more blessed, said by Jesus. You know, when I was younger, I actually envied the disciples. I had a very different thought, okay, when it comes to seeing, right? Because when you're a teenager, you're still looking for evidence, and that's why you read a bunch of books, right, philosophy books or apologetics books, and that's why you have questions about God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. How does it all fit together? Because our main interest is about the truth, okay? You're in that stage. And then, so I was in that stage. How is Christianity really true, right? And so I used to think, man, only if I lived in the first century, only if I lived in Israel, only if I saw Jesus with my eyes, only if I saw him going around and healing the cancer patients, right? Healing the woman or raising the dead or multiplying food out of just a basket full of food. If I saw Jesus do that with my own eyes, then I would never doubt, I would know for sure that he is the Son of God. Too bad that I wasn't there, right? I wish to be like one of the disciples or at least one of the bystanders that just happens to live in the same era as Jesus, right? But I wish that no more, because Jesus himself said that you are more blessed if you have not seen me and yet believed. I believe in Jesus, 2,000 years removed from, right, the physical evidence. That means I am more blessed than if I had been there and if I saw Jesus with my own eyes, according to what Jesus said. And what Jesus said is final, right, because he is the Word of God. Listen, if you think about it, it is a greater miracle for me to believe in Jesus 2,000 years removed from the historical fact, isn't it? Granted that just because you live in the same era as Jesus and you have seen what Jesus does, right, miracles and so on, does not automatically mean that you're going to be a believer. If you think about the Pharisees, they saw. They knew what Jesus was doing was a miracle. They knew, right? And also, Pastor LD mentioned this last week, Judas walked with Jesus for 3 years, and he has seen everything that Jesus has said and done, and yet he still did not believe. And so just because you were there with Jesus doing everything that he has done does not necessarily mean that you're going to become a believer. However, you have to admit the fact that if you were there and you had physical evidence, then you would at least know, well, can I believe the scripture, right? You wouldn't have that question. How do I know what's written down here is what really happened? You wouldn't have that question. You would just know because you've seen it. So I must say that it would have been easier to believe in Jesus if you were there. And for that fact, it takes a greater miracle for those of us living in 2019 to believe in Jesus than those people who walk with Jesus, who saw Jesus, to believe in Jesus. So that's why you and I are more blessed if we believe in Jesus so many years later. But what makes us believe? Back then, right, people saw with their eyes, so they believed. Duh, right? You believe, you see what you believe, or you believe what you see. But what about us? How did we become believers? How do we come to believe? Have you thought about that? Here's how. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that you saw, that you admitted was the truth, and you have decided to believe, although it was God really doing that. Listen, verse 30 and 31, I'm almost done. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Lord, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These are written, John is saying, right, after 20 chapters of writing about Jesus, these are written so that you may believe. And for 2,000 years, people have been believing in what John and along with other gospel writers have written. So it is the written word of God that has propagated, right, decade after decade, century after century, millennia after millennia, that we have looked at and then said, you know, this has to be the word of God. This is true. I believe 2,000 years ago that truly the Son of God came. He was crucified. He was resurrected. Why do I believe it? Because of the Word of God. It is written in there. Right? And you can go back to, right, why you think it's true, and does it make sense, and does it match with the historical fact? Does it match with the archaeological, you know, evidences and all of that? You can do all of that. But the fact of the matter is, it simply sounds true. That's the easiest way to put it. Right? It's simply, if you read it, it just simply sounds like true. Why would anybody lie about this? Why would anybody follow this to their death if they were convinced that this was fake? Right? So it is the Word of God. So be thankful for the faith that is in you. The faith that is not from you, but from God. The faith that was put there, not because you and I have done anything good, but because God is gracious. And Jesus said this, "Do not rejoice that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life." I end with this. That means do not be so happy when good things are happening to you. Do not be so happy when finally, I only wish I had that and then we finally got it. Don't be so happy about that. Whether it's prosperity, promotion, healing, right? Popularity or recognition, or that boy that you had a crush on finally asked you out, right? Don't be happy about that, okay? But be happy that you belong to God. Be happy that you belong to God. If you woke up this morning still believing, thank God for it, because God kept your faith overnight, right? He could have taken it away, but he did not. You still have faith in you. So be thankful about that, because it is that faith that is kept to the end by God in you that will let you see God one day as he truly is. The glory of his face that is only poorly reflected in the most magnificent of mountains or in the crystal blue skies that we saw yesterday, right? Or the beautiful, the unbridled smile of a child, or the first coming of the snowflakes in late December. All these beauties we see are simply a glimpse of the beautiful being that has created all these things for us to enjoy, and that is God. So if you have faith in that God, be thankful for what you have in you, that this all creative, joyful, wonderful God that has promised you the world is in you and is holding you, right? Holding your faith to continue in him. So be thankful for that. And then show the world that you are a Christian by thanking God even in your difficult circumstances. Anybody can give thanks to God in good circumstances, but even difficult circumstances, when you give thanks to God, the world may ask you such questions as, well, why are you thankful when you lost your job? I don't get it. Well, why are you rejoicing when your husband just ran away from you? Why are you thanking God when your children are not following God? And then you can answer them, because I know one day this life will be over and I'll see God face to face, which will make everything, every suffering that I have ever suffered, seem like a prick of needle that I received when I was 6 years old. Do you remember that prick when you were 6 years old? You don't, because it was so immediate, right? So instant. 60, 70, 80 years of this life will seem like it when we have been there for 10,000 years. And we can rejoice in that even if God strips everything away from you, right? If that faith remains, if that belief remains, if your name is written in the book of life, then you can rejoice. Amen? Let's pray.